Hello everybody, it's me, Mr. Tall 23, back with another video. Today I want to talk about the subject of the spirit of the Antichrist, or the spirit of Antichrist, as it's spoken about in the epistles of John. And it's mentioned first in 1 John, and then it's also mentioned in 2 John. I want to explain what it is, and I've changed my mind on my interpretation of how the Antichrist is going to work during the end times and the deception that is going to be raised during the time of the Antichrist, the beast, the man of sin, whatever you want to call it. So in 1 John chapter 2, the first time the word Antichrist appears, I'm just going to read every verse that mentions this word just so we get a firm foundation of what this means, right? 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So it talks about there's one Antichrist that shall come, but then it says that there are many Antichrists even now. So at the time when John was writing, there were many Antichrists, but then he talks about this other figure who he says the Antichrist that shall come, right? And it tells us more about who an Antichrist is down in verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So somebody is Antichrist if they do not believe that Jesus is the Christ or that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, going down to chapter 4, this is where the Bible talks about the spirit of Antichrist. I'll start in verse 1 just for some context. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. So here it defines the spirit of Antichrist as confessing not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So for somebody to be an Antichrist, that means that they have denied that Jesus Christ is come or has come in the flesh, right? We, of course, know that Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh, right? The Son of God from heaven was sent by the Father. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He took on a flesh and blood body. Jesus literally walked on this earth 2,000 years ago. He was in the flesh. But for somebody to be an Antichrist, that would be them denying that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And then finally, in 2 John, it says in verse 7, For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. So again, the Bible tells us again what an Antichrist is, somebody who does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And these verses are pretty interesting. And I was thinking about these verses that are given here in the book of 1 John and 2 John. And there was a sermon that was preached by Pastor Jonathan Shelley a few months ago about this modern day Antichrist by the name of Tyler Doka. Okay, there is this false prophet, this heretic out there who is claiming to be Jesus. But what's interesting about his claim is that he is not just claiming to be the second coming, but he is claiming to be the first and only coming of Jesus. He claims that the Bible has not historically happened and that the New Testament is only a prophecy of the modern time. He claims that all of history is fake and that he is the first coming of Jesus and that his life is recorded in the book of John. That's what this false prophet Tyler Doka is saying. And Pastor Shelley preached a sermon up against this bozo. And in this sermon, where he was exposing this Tyler Doka guy to be an Antichrist, he used these verses about confessing not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And it dawned on me through this preaching that the Antichrist or the spirit of Antichrist is not going to claim that he is the second coming of Jesus, but rather that Jesus has never come at all. Because the Bible tells us that's what the spirit of Antichrist is, that they confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So when the Antichrist, who we also know to be the beast or the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians 2, the little horn in the book of Daniel. There's many names and titles that is given to this person. The Antichrist, who we know that will rule the one world government in the book of Revelation. That Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, according to the Bible, is confessing not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So I think that it would be similar to what this Tyler Doka guy is saying, that the Antichrist will claim not only to be the Messiah, but he will deny that Jesus was ever a real person who has come in the flesh, and he will claim to be the first coming of the Messiah. That's what I think that the Antichrist will do, and that I think is the great deception that will be in the last days, that the Antichrist will teach this, and people will genuinely believe that Jesus Christ has not come, but that this man who is claiming to be God in the end times, they will believe that he is Jesus Christ, but not the second coming, but the only coming, right? Because that's what the spirit of Antichrist is, right? Denying the first coming. That also answers the question of why do the sacrifices cease, or why are the daily sacrifices taken away by the Antichrist as recorded in the book of Daniel, right? So we know that, of course, that there has to be a new temple built in order for the Antichrist to sit down in the temple of God and declare himself to be God, which is what it says he's going to do in 2 Thessalonians 2. And then the Jews are also, when they rebuild this temple, they're also going to reinstitute the sacrifices. But then it also talks about in Daniel how those daily sacrifices will be taken away. Now, why does the Antichrist take away the daily sacrifices, right? If this is just the so-called Jewish Messiah. And that also, makes me think about how all the verses in the Gospels, like in Luke 21, where Jesus is talking about how when the Antichrist invades Jerusalem, it says that great wrath will be upon this people, talking about the Jews. And before I was thinking, well, the Jews are going to believe that the Antichrist is their Messiah, right? But it clearly tells us that the Antichrist is going to take over Jerusalem, and it calls it that being trodden down of the Gentiles. So the Antichrist is not a Jew. He has to be a Gentile then. And it tells us that he's going to destroy and kill the Jews in Jerusalem when he takes over Jerusalem and then sets up the abomination of desolation, that's God's wrath upon this people, he says, right? The people of Judea. So again, the Antichrist is a little bit different than what I previously thought, where I thought before, well, the Antichrist is going to be this person who will claim to be the Jewish Messiah and the second coming of Jesus. But now, based on these verses, upon further study and meditation of these scriptures, I've come to the realization that I believe that the Antichrist is going to claim to be the first coming of Jesus Christ, and he is going to pretend to fulfill the New Testament and claim that it never happened, but that he is the fulfillment of the New Testament. So I want to read some of the scriptures talking about the daily sacrifice being taken away, and then another a key aspect of the Antichrist's identity that is given in the book of Revelation, which also shows that he is trying to mock Jesus and be like Jesus, right? It says in Daniel chapter 8, verses 9 to 12, "And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." So it's talking about this little horn, which magnifies himself above all things. And then it says that he's going to take the daily sacrifice away and set up the abomination of desolation. In this chapter, it calls it the transgression of desolation, right? And then it also talks about this in Daniel 9:27, again, in connection with the abomination of desolation. it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, so that's the middle of Daniel's 70th week, in the middle of the seven-year period, 3.5 years in, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So this is what Jesus referred to in Matthew 24, where he said, when you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, he says that's when the great tribulation is, right? That's when he says, to if you were in Judea, to flee into the mountains, to run away, basically, because he said that is when the tribulation is going to begin. Okay, in the midpoint of Daniel's 70th week, when he sets up the abomination of desolation in Jerusalem. Okay. And at the same time, in both of these chapters where it talks about this, it mentions him taking the daily sacrifice away. Now, again, 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us that there's going to be another temple built, and the Antichrist is going to sit down in that temple and declare himself to be God, right? So what I believe is going to happen in the last days is as the Jews rebuild a new temple in Jerusalem, they will also reinstitute sacrifices at that temple. But then when the Antichrist comes and declares himself to be God, he will take those daily sacrifices away. And again, this is something that, you know, I already had in the back of my mind before, but I never really thought about why that would happen. You know, why does he take the daily sacrifice away if this is supposedly the person who the Jews will claim to be the Messiah? The reason why is because, like I said, it's denying, the spirit of Antichrist is denying that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So what I think that the Antichrist is due is going to be claimed to be Jesus, the only Jesus, and that he will take the sacrifices away and say that he is the sacrifice for their sins, right? So he's basically mocking Jesus and trying to be like Jesus and trying to claim to be Jesus, trying to claim to be the Christ, right? Let's see a few other verses. Daniel chapter 11, verse 31. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. So another clear verse associating abomination desolation with the daily sacrifice being taken away. Daniel 12, 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So that's the second half of Daniel's 70th week. That's the midpoint. From then, there's 1,290 days, so about 3.5 years. So the Antichrist is going to take the sacrifice away. And another important aspect of this is that the Antichrist, according to the Bible, is going to be dead. He's going to have a deadly wound, but he's going to be healed. It talks about that in Revelation 13, how there's the seven heads of the beast, and those seven heads, of those seven heads, one of them is wounded unto death, but the deadly wound was healed. Then it also tells us in Revelation 17 that there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is yet to come. And it says that the beast, even he is the eighth, but it says he is of the seven. So one of the seven kings, which represent the kings upon which, you know, Babylon has, the spirit of Babylon has sat in time past, one of those kings is going to be the Antichrist. But before he becomes the Antichrist, he's going to be dead. And let's see what it says in Revelation 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So the Bible tells us that the beast will ascend out of the bottomless pit. So at one point, the beast was dead and was in hell, but the beast will rise up out of hell. Again, I believe that that is something that will take place in order, again, to try to mimic Jesus. You know, that this Antichrist, who is claiming to be Jesus Christ, who is claiming that he is the true Jesus, is going to also somehow rise from the dead, and he's going to take the daily sacrifice away, right? So that's how people are going to be deceived, because basically what the Antichrist, I think, is going to do in the last days is he's going to try to mimic the New Testament and pretend to be the Jesus of the Bible by denying that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, by denying that it already happened and saying, well, this is a future prophecy of me, and et cetera. That's what the Antichrist will say, right? And you might hear that and think, well, that seems kind of unlikely because, you know, that seems so stupid. That seems like such a foolish idea. But Here's the thing, you know, that Tyler Noka guy I mentioned earlier, he has followers. He has people who are genuinely deceived into believing that he is Jesus. Okay. He has made videos on YouTube and he's made posts on online articles, et cetera, where he claims that he is Jesus Christ and that all of history is fake and that the New Testament is only talking about him right now in the 21st century. That's what Tyler Doka is saying, and he has people who are actually following him and actually believe that to be true. Okay. So the same thing is going to happen in the last days. The deception is just going to get bigger and bigger. The Bible talks about the falling away that must happen first, and how the man of sin, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, shall sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, right? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So I think this a similar thing is going to happen there, where he's going to, because the spirit of Antichrist, like I said, is denying that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So he's going to sit down in the temple, claim that he is God, claim that he is Jesus Christ, and take the sacrifice away, say that he's a sacrifice, you don't need it anymore. That's how I think the Antichrist is going to operate. And in the last days, people are going to be deceived to actually believe that. And in fact, the Bible tells us that the deception will be so strong that if it were possible, he shall deceive the very elect. Now, I want to find the exact verse just so I can establish it even clearer, where Jesus says that in Matthew 24. Yeah, it says in Matthew 24, verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So it's explaining that the deception is so great. There's great signs and wonders being shown by these false prophets. The deception would be so strong that if it were not for the fact that we have the Holy Spirit as the elect, as believers, it's impossible, of course, for us to be deceived because the Holy Spirit guides us in all truth. But if it were possible, it says that they shall deceive the very elect, which implies, of course, that it's not possible. But the point of the matter being is that it's then no surprise that the rest of the world that's not unsaved is going to worship the Antichrist. Because here's what it says in Revelation chapter 13, verse 7-8. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So everybody whose name is not in the book of life, so that would be everybody who's not saved, and not even just not saved, but those who are reprobates, those who've been rejected by God, all those people are going to worship the beast. And again, you might say, well, how is that going to happen? Because how is the beast going to deceive people into thinking that he's Jesus, right? Well, the Bible tells us with more detail in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. It even tells us that God is going to send this strong delusion, that God wants to damn these people who have rejected the truth, and therefore that is why they will believe a lie. Let's see what it says. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 8 to 12. And then shall that wicked be revealed. And again, the wicked in the context is the man of sin, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's in Revelation 19 when Jesus comes on the white horse. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So in the last days, the Bible tells us that these people, because they did not receive the love of the truth, which the Bible tells us that the truth is itself the Bible. Jesus said, thy word is truth in John 17 when he prayed unto God. That the people of this world who did not care what the Bible said, who did not believe it, that they might be saved, it says, for this cause, for this reason, that they did not get saved by, you know, believing the truth, for that cause, God will send them strong delusion so that they believe a lie. See, they had a chance to believe the truth, the word of God, But because they did not believe the truth, God gave them strong delusion, it says, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Okay? So for some people, that might be hard to wrap their mind around, but in the last days, I believe that God is going to be through with people in general, those on the earth. He's going to reprobate their minds, and that's why the Bible tells us that all who take the mark of the beast will surely be damned, because at the time of the Antichrist, everybody will have had a chance to hear the gospel. That's what I believe, or to at least, you know, go towards the truth. But because people have rejected the truth that has been given unto them, because they didn't care what the truth said, because they didn't believe the word of God, then they're going to believe a lie. They're going to be deceived into this foolishness of worshiping the Antichrist and believing that the Antichrist is really Jesus. Okay. So that's what I think is going to happen in the last days. That's what I think the spirit of Antichrist is, and the strong deception. And again, you know, it's not really that surprising when you consider that most people who even claim to be Christians nowadays don't actually believe the Bible. Okay. You talk to people, and you know, the more you go out soul winning, the more you'll realize this. You know, obviously, if you go to a church where people are saved, then you might, you know, you talk to them, they're saved. Obviously, you show them what the Bible says, they're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I believe that, right? But you'd be surprised how many people out there claim to be Christians, claim to believe in Jesus, yet you'll show them the Bible, which Jesus said, or the Bible says that Jesus is the Word made flesh. The Bible says that he is the Word of life, right? The Word of God in the flesh. You'll show them what the Bible says, and they won't believe it, just on any subject. There's so many people out there who are like that, because most people who claim to be Christians nowadays, they aren't basing their faith on the Bible. They're basing their faith on traditions. They're basing their faith on, well, I was raised in this church. That's part of my culture. You know, like, for example, in Orthodoxy, they have the Armenian Orthodox Church and the Ethiopian Orthodox and the Serbian Orthodox and the Russian Orthodox. It's all connected to just, you know, what their culture is, right? So some people, it's their tradition. Some people, it's their culture. Some people, it's because of a spiritual experience or emotion that they felt, right? It's not based on the truth of the Word of God. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when you hear the Word of God, you believe it. That's how faith is supposed to work. But most people who claim to be Christians are basing their beliefs on their own personal experiences, on their own emotions, just on the fact that that's what they always have been part of, and they don't care what the Bible says. They don't love the truth. So that's how most people who even claim to be Christians are today, people who are not saved. And of course, you know, there's, you know, Jews, Hindus, Muslims, whatever. They don't even believe and even claim to believe, you know, that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't even claim to believe the Bible in the first place, right? So obviously it's not going to be hard to see how they get deceived. But people who claim to be Christians but who aren't saved, they don't have the Holy Spirit, they can easily be deceived by the deception of the Antichrist. That's what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days. So Jennifer A. says, yeah, that guy really believed that he is God. Personally asked him if he believes he's God in his comment section on a video and answered yes. Yeah, so you're talking about that Tyler Doka false prophet. Yeah, he really believes that he is God, and there are people who watch his videos who really believe that, okay? Now, obviously, it's not many. He's just some weirdo on the internet. But in the last days, the Antichrist, with all these great signs and wonders of the false prophet, you know, the beast of the earth in Revelation 13, all the, you know, calling down fire from heaven and all that stuff, all those things are going to deceive the whole world, all those who were not saved, into worshiping the Antichrist. And the Bible tells us that part of that is God sending them strong delusion. God is going to blind their minds that they, you know, will believe a lie and won't come to the knowledge of the truth. So thank you, everybody, for watching. That's it for today. Hopefully that made sense. There's another thing I want to talk about concerning the Antichrist and the end times, but kind of looking more into Bible prophecy. Again, recently, it's a subject I haven't really studied and looked into in a while, but there's another subject about the Antichrist and the identity of the Antichrist, etc., that I'll save for a future video because it's a lot more complicated than this subject. So thank you, buddy, for watching. God bless you, and goodbye.